quarter, Andrew. Make sure I do that. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. Lord, you're worthy of our praises. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for talking through us, working through us, showing us the things that will bring us closer to you. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters all over the place here, all the way from Australia up to Canada, over to South Africa, up to Washington, down to Florida, down from California up to New York. Lord, we thank you for all of these fine folks. Lord, we just ask that you be with us tonight. Give us grace and mercy as only you can, Lord. Give us peace in our heart about the things that are going on around us, Lord. Thank you for your Psalms 91 protection upon every one of us. We thank you, Lord, that we have an open heaven, that when we pray, we know that it goes right straight to the throne room. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for the faith that you've given us to believe whenever we pray, it's going to happen. And Lord, it's just awesome to see you work in your mighty ways through our prayers, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you strengthen each one of us with bold faith and a boldness to give out the word of God. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you for all you're going to accomplish tonight, too. In Jesus' name. Now, I command every spirit that may want to try to interrupt our communications, I bind up your works and cast you out of here. In the name of Jesus. You're not allowed. I rebuke you and cast you out of, away from our communications equipment, our PCs, our telephones, our internet lines, our modems, anything. I command you out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning the lines up, and we're going to have an awesome time with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Praise God. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Uh-huh. So this is the way it's going to be. Let's see if I can't start something here. Hey, is that the Golden Girls? Yeah, there you are, Sue. All right, let me put that and make sure I get y'all in here. Anybody want to pray for the president while I do this?
Yeah, Father, we lift up President Trump to you and his cabinet. We pray that you would watch over him as he goes through these trying times with media that hates him and half the country that's against him, and that you'd give him wisdom, your wisdom, Lord, not his own, that he would do the right thing for this country and to drain the swamp and bring us back for a short time to live as we would choose to live in, as Christians, and without being persecuted, without being classed as second-class citizens. And we just thank you for all that you've done through the president so far as cleaning up the government, seeing those kind of things, and we pray you continue your good work through him.
Amen. I agree. Yeah, Leon.
Hey, Tim, did your wife wrestle you to the ground and shear you?
Like back home on shearing day.
You know, Tim,
she had all that experience shearing sheep, so I figured that's what she did with you too.
We actually couldn't get them to the ground because they were too big and too rotund, and we didn't really have a good place, so we just string a chain between two trees and chain them to the chain. They had to stay still while we sheared. standing up. Do it where they down there. We were slow and took our time.
Amen. Right? You look like a decent human being from James here.
Folks, he wasn't like that this morning at the meeting.
I was thinking this morning, I said, I bet he takes that off for too much longer because it was 80 today here. Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, Gaynold said I look like Moses, and I was reminded of that thing a year or so ago, and I figured I better get that clip back on.
Amen. Okay, anyone else got a testimony, a praise report, or would like to pray about something?
Oh, we can do testimonies, can we?
Yes.
All right. Let me see. I think I had three, actually. It's been stewing for about a week. One, I'm not sure if anyone here would know Dee, but she's someone I have the privilege of praying with from time to time. And last year, we were praying, and she was praying for her two daughters and two grandchildren as well. And there was a bit of a breakthrough because there was no communication from them. And but anyway, we got, you know, and in praying with her, I guess it was a word I got, I don't know, but I just told her, your eldest is going to come through first. And just this week past, you know, I got the news from her, a number of us did, that her eldest had indeed realized what she needed and came to that point of repentance and asking the Lord in. One. What was the other one? Hang on a sec. Sorry. The other one was a young lady that Tracy contacted our website, and Tracy put her onto me because she was in Australia. And I phoned her up. She's on the other side of the country from me, but basically all I had to do, she's come through a whole lot of New Age stuff and started looking into the things of God. And basically all I had to do was give her the clipboard and say, look, you know, yeah, tick the box, yes to Jesus. You know, she'd done all the research. She was ready to go. You know, brand new believer, but you know, soaking up you know, what she can. And anyway, a few days later, because she was having these attacks at night, this anxiety would sort of, you know, wake her up at 3 a.m, there was something there. Anyway, so lo and behold, you know, we did pray. And that went away. But, you know, I spoke to her a few days, well, this is Friday last week, she messaged me and she said, there's a lot of stuff happening around me, you know, like a number of car accidents and particularly her dog, and she has a dachshund, who was just getting sick time after time, times taking it to the vet. And it was, you know, the most recent one was, I assume, some sort of spasm. She thought the thing had broken its back, which apparently dachshunds are prone to. And I said, look, is the dog with you? And she said, yes. So we got in touch on the phone, and I just prayed over the dog and kicked this whatever it was out of the dog. Anyway, a few minutes later, she sent me a video. He said, look at this. The dog was, you know, jumping off the lounge and dashing down the hall and picking up a squeaky toy and bringing it back, and it was thrown again and to bring it back. And I said to her, I said, what was it like before? Because I didn't know. And she said, and I'm going to quote her because I'm just looking up a message now. Sorry, just give me a second. Yeah, she said, after we spoke, he got up and started playing. I said, what were you expecting? Well, let's not go through that conversation. But I was kind of like, what was he like previously? She said, sulking because he was in pain. He didn't run after the toy or run, so it was quite extraordinary. Now, I'm not, you know, going, yeah, look, heal the dog. It was more that the Lord just showed her, this is who I am and what I can do. I, you know, I could play the video, but it doesn't come through too well on Zoom, I'm told, so. And there was something else, but it doesn't come to mind right now, but I'll put it in the back pocket anyway. But the Lord's just doing stuff. He's just doing stuff.
He is. He is. He's
Tracy's arm this morning as well.
Amen. He is doing something. He's moving in. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Leo.
I wanted to say to Greg, we pray for everything, for cars, for furniture, for dogs and cats and stuff, everything. So that's a good report.
Amen.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I wish I could play the video for you. It was just in a couple of seconds, but it doesn't come through too well. But I said, what was the dog like before? And it was just sulking and in pain. Anyway, it was good. I just like it when the Lord says, yeah, hello, here I am.
Amen.
Which is what I said to her. I said, oh, that's just Jesus saying hello.
Amen.
Can you put the link up?
Well, it's she sent it to me via WhatsApp, so I may be able to play it by sharing screen, if that's kosher.
Whatever you got on your screen will show up on share.
Okay, well, give me a second. I'll bring it up. And
okay. Hey, Dave. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, Michael.
All right, ready to go. Can you see that?
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Amen.
As I said, what was he like before? He's sulking and wouldn't move.
Amen. Hey, George, you got something? Are you okay, buddy? Sound like you're wrestling a bear.
Pretty close to it. Sorry about that.
What's going on?
Oh, just fixing me some grits and eggs, and I had it in my pocket. Sorry about that.
You had grits in your pocket? George? All right.
I think he meant he had his phone in his pocket. And
oh.
I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, you never know. Praise you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? I just want to thank God for being my God. Thank you, Lord. He is such an awesome, gracious God. Merciful. My. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody got something they want to talk about? Yeah, Joe. I'll get back to you, Judy.
Well, I can post a video I saw yesterday. Someone posted on Facebook. Looks like God is beginning to deal with the Mormons a little bit. Out in Salt Lake with the big 5.7 earthquake.
And, oh, yeah.
I mean, they said there was up like 90 earthquakes surrounding. I don't know if it's the main temple out there. I don't know, you know, who else saw this. I'll post a video of some guy who kind of posted some photos. And
it's not very long, is it?
No, it's just a couple.
Okay.
Days. But basically, okay. Like I said, I don't know if this is the main temple that, you know, the Mormons use to go worship. I mean, it's like the higher levels, you know, they go to this temple in Salt Lake City. But supposedly there's this golden statue of the angel Moroni. I don't know if you understand their history, who they believe Moroni was. And he's holding the trumpet on top of the temple. Well, like, there was a 5.7 earthquake there. And, well, there's no longer a trumpet in the angel's hand. So I found that kind of interesting because the guy was saying with the video, well, he was talking about the verse. Where does Paul say, you know, if anyone or an angel bring a different gospel, you know, basically let them be accursed. And I thought, oh, wow, that is very interesting. So there's no longer a trumpet in his hand, but the angel's just standing there with his hand up, you know, and what used to be. So basically, I think God's sending the message to the Mormons, you know, or that's like one thing. So I'll post a link there. You know, it's very, very, very interesting. So
okay.
Put it out there.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down those idols. Amen. All right, Julie. You're up, girl. Your nice looking little cap here, your hat. Yeah.
Is it positioned right? There you go. I just want to praise the Lord. We've been getting some really nice rain here about the last week and a half, and we got more coming. So being down in Southern California, we're getting some really nice rain, not any like heavy flooding or downpours or anything like that. I looked out when I was outside today. It's like, wow, everything looks green again. You know, mountainsides are not brown, they're green. Whether it's, you know, grass or brush or whatever, it's all coming back to life. So thank you, Lord, for sending us rain. And we thank you, Lord, for sending out, pouring down your anointing, your spiritual rain down here too, Lord. Draw people. I pray in Jesus' name you do a quick work, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for moving the rain out of here. We had an absolutely marvelous day. Yeah. It was.
It's raining. It's raining. A cloud just come over right now. It's just praying about rain, and Lord just.
Praise God.
The sunshine, and I got to go see if I can see a rainbow, y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We had a wonderful day. It was sunshine and got up to 80, maybe a little more than it. It was nice. My goodness, I was in my element. It's so good. Sweat pouring off my brow. Ooh, it's so good. All right. Anybody got anything else before we get into the Word? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
I'd like to share quick what I got from my random verses I got today from my Bible app, my Vines Bible app. The first one was interesting. It was three names of men that they're in Ezra 10:37, list of those that had foreign wives. And the three in this verse was Mattaniah, Mattaniah, and Jasaw, or whatever. I don't know how you pronounce it. But anyway, both Mattaniah and Mattaniah both mean gift of God. And Jasaw means they will do. The next verse I got, which I thought was very interesting, is, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. That's the KJV. But that's, you know, the wedding in Canaan. Which I thought that was interesting because the first three are ones that, you know, had foreign wives and were putting their foreign wives away. And this is about the marriage feast in Canaan and Jesus and his disciples and, you know, how John the Baptist called Jesus's disciples the bride, you know, he that has the bride is the bridegroom, which I thought was interesting. And then in Psalm 97:3 was a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. And actually, the ASV says it a little bit different. Let me find that. It's just slightly different. But I like this chapter in Psalm 97:3. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his adversaries round about. And what came to my mind is his reward is with him and his recompense is before him. But anyway, I just see how all three of these relate, you know. You know, if you want to put them in order, you know, the bride and the bridegroom, John 2:2, and, you know, the man child and the bride, and then those who put away their foreign wives, and David shared about, you know, the, I think it was Sunday's Bible study versus about, you know, fires burning down the apostate churches. So that kind of came to my mind with that too. So his reward is with him, his recompense is before him. So anyway, I just wanted to share them. I was encouraged by all those verses. It's interesting. Sometimes I'll say, you know, I ask the Lord, show me, you know, something in these verses or whatever. So I found all that encouraging. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Pat, it's good to have you back, brother. You going to be with us for a while now?
Hopefully. I think I am off of night shift here for a while. The company that we were contracted out to shut the doors, or they shut down for the next 2 weeks. So I'm looking to get back on day shift here. So right now I'm working from home.
Okay.
Everything is kind of deserted up here in the, the streets are bare. There's not a lot of work or a lot of anything happening really. They've shut down most of the businesses. I think the governor shut down the small non-essential businesses now. So
what state are you in?
Pennsylvania. I'm right outside of Philadelphia.
We'll pray for you.
Things are happening. Amen. We're all prepared. We're all sitting, just riding the storm out. But yeah, I hope to be on day shift here, or who knows what'll happen, but hopefully that'll work out.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Oh, anybody else? And it's good to have Julie on too. So I think she's working out of her home as well. Thank you, Father. Got a good crowd in there. Okay, well, we can get started on God's vaccine.
Michael, can I share something real quick?
Well, sure, yeah.
Before we get going? I had a dream this morning, and it was very short, and it was one of those that kind of hits, and it's, you know, kind of, it wasn't like radically disturbing or anything, but it just started me to thinking, and I couldn't go back to sleep, so I had to get up and write it down. But I'd kind of like to share it because it kind of led me down a train of thought. And so I was basically in a large conference room, or maybe not a large conference room with a long table in it, and I and someone else were sitting at the end of that table, and over to my right or to my left was the speaker, and he who was kind of calling the meeting or handling the meeting, he was over on the left-hand side of me. And I noticed that there wasn't anybody else around the table on his side. And then there was a bunch of people down my, to my right that went down the other side of the table. And the scene was that we were talking about, everybody was kind of disturbed in how to, it was like there was a problem that they were trying to fix, and it was a problem I don't know what the particular problem was, but it was enough to call a meeting, and, you know, they were trying to call you know, figure out what to do type of thing. And basically the speakers, as he went through the process explaining, he basically took out a white board, like a white chalkboard, and was going to, and basically said, you know, he was going to take suggestions as to what the solution was going to be or whatever, what we could all do about it. But the thing that woke me up was that he, instead of passing the whiteboard so that we could all put our ideas on it, directly to his right or to the person that was right next to me and pass it around the table that way, he bypassed us on the end and handed it directly to the guy that was right across the table. And I woke up because I was, you know, like I was thinking, well, wait a minute, I didn't get a chance to share. I wanted to write something down there. And I just basically let it go. And I woke up and it kind of disturbed me to a certain degree. And again, I don't know what the Lord was particularly saying related to it, but I got up and I started thinking about that. And it led me down a track where I was thinking about how sometimes, I don't know if you all feel this way, but sometimes it's hard to share the truths that the Lord is leading me through. And I'm sure many of you feel the same thing, that people don't necessarily want to hear those things. And not that they are, you know, tremendously condemning or anything like that, but it seems like God's word tends to be a bit contradictory, or a lot contradictory, to the particular ways that we normally, or shall we say, naturally operate in the world. And so people don't really want to hear them too much. And unfortunately, I know in my experience, I have kind of sheltered in place, to use a common term, and kind of, when I don't sense a receptive audience, shall we say, I just kind of shut down and let it go, and let people do or think or whatever, however they want to deal with things. And I felt that in this dream, that there was just this kind of a bypassing of what I had to say and shooting on by. And it kind of left me feeling a little, not depressed, but rejected, but not really rejected, but more of a ho-hum, well, okay, here we go again type of thing. As I got to thinking about it, I thought the Lord brought a few scriptures to my mind. The first one was, in Proverbs 21, it says, every man, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And there has to be a certain sense that a person has to inwardly feel a bit of failure, a bit of personal failure, to be able to deal with something in order to be open to hear an alternative suggestion or alternative possibility. I remember there was a writer that wrote a few popular books who was popular in the 90s. His name was Stephen Covey. Some of the things that he wrote were kind of interesting. He termed some, you know, some, I think, popular words, or use a couple of his words that I believe he came up with, and that was proactive is one of the words, and I think win-win, and a couple other terms that came up that he kind of created. But he said something in a book one time, it's always kind of stuck with me, and I think obviously it's biblical, and then it comes from biblical foundations, but the statement he made was, it will take a higher level of thinking to solve the problems our current level of thinking created. And it always kind of stuck with me that it will take a higher level of thinking to solve the problems that our current level of thinking created. And until people are willing to entertain the possibility that there is
I think he froze up.
Yeah.
You may have to get off and come back on, Pat. We lost you. Yeah, Tim.
Well, I'd like to just expound a little bit, I think, on where Pat was going. You know, that before I came to the Lord, I was comfortable with the way my life was. I didn't see, you know, a need to pursue higher thought or higher aspirations or more noble things. You know, I was just thinking, no, this is all right. You know, I'm doing okay. By general, that, you know, what Pat was saying, that people aren't receptive to it because our country is prosperous and people think they're doing just fine without the Lord. And that's, you know, it's a sad thing, but the, you know, that's why he brings tribulation, because they know that, that they need the Lord, have nothing else, and they can't fall back on Egypt. And I just really, you know, he was touching a nerve there, because I used to be that guy. I didn't want to hear it. You know, everything's good. I'm fine. You know, your religion's good for you, but I don't need it. And so, you know, thank God that he delivered me from that.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Father. He did all of us that way. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Pat ever come back? He didn't come back yet, did he? There he is. Go ahead, Pat.
So much for that, huh? So I forgot.
We caught you in mid-sentence, and I don't remember which sentence it was.
Pat, that was one of those current thinkings that has to have a higher thinking that you froze up.
I froze. Yeah, my internet went completely off. So I guess the bottom line is I started thinking about led me over to Isaiah 55 and how said, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, etc., etc. Oh, in verse 11 it says, so my word will be, which will go forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding for which I have sent it. So I think the Lord's been in the last few weeks has been taking me through, obviously this coronavirus scenario has, you seem to battle day in and day out, or at least I was for a while, with thoughts and that would be thrown at me of getting sick and all this. Well, it seems I seem to have come to a resting point in that God's, it's simply a matter of believing what God says, believing his word, and just resting in it, because there is no way that one could do anything else and be successful. In other words, there's no way that there's no way that the devil can overcome God's word if you're simply believing in it. If he can get us not to believe in it, then he has the ability to make us stumble. But as long as we are simply just believing what God has said, then there's no way, then the only thing you can do is rest in it. So I don't know. I think that I'm not quite sure, you know, that conglomeration of information or whatever that has come my way here, but what it all means. But it just seems like the Lord is doing things, and he's definitely raising up. I know it kind of struck me today that even on the personal level, when God raises up certain things in your life that you don't have the personal resources for, and that you have to seek him to find that strength and to find that truth to rest in, he's doing that on the national or the worldwide level now with these viruses, because it's forcing a great amount of people to seek him to find that rest in his word. Just to believe in Psalm 91, just to trust in that and nothing else is a blessing, but a position of rest that I believe many in the world are going to struggle with. So I don't know. I'm kind of rambling right now, but I think the Lord is definitely using this time to work out his word in us. So thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know you got a check coming in the mail here in a couple of weeks from Uncle Sam? You're not going to get one from Uncle Sam, Greg. I'm sorry.
It's not fair. No, I'm getting one from Uncle ScoMo, Scott.
So that means the banks are going to be open?
Well, that's the question.
How do you deposit it?
Well, you just go spend it. That's what he wants you to do. Anyway, for those of you that don't know, there's I think he's promised at least 1,000 for everybody over 18. So if there's two of you in your house, that's 2,000. If there's four of you in there, there's 4,000. at least. Yeah, Leah.
Mitch McConnell said 1,200, but that's the Senate version.
I like him.
Yeah.
The 1,200 will be fine. 1,200. I'm looking for even more, abundantly more. Yeah, Missy.
Didn't he say that they were going to do this twice?
Okay, I'm good for that one. I like that.
I heard him.
Twice is good.
Yeah. But they were going to, I heard him saying, now this, I don't know, I didn't hear the hearing talk about it for a few days or whatever, but he might have said something different, but he originally was saying that they were going to do it twice and they wanted to go big the two times rather than keep doing it and keep doing it. So whatever the go big means, however much go big means.
Big to me is big. Go ahead, Leah.
They said in April and then again in May. That's the twice. Yeah, around the 15th of April and around the 15th of May.
And Lord, we ask that we do not have any more internet interference the rest of the evening. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
What were you going to say, Tim?
I wanted to ask Greg, how old of a boy are we talking about here?
He's now 13.
Okay, you're back, Michael.
I'm back. You know what? I remember Trump saying that they wanted to change out all the 5G cell tower modems to American-made modems. I don't know if that's what's going on, but anyway, they're supposed to be doing that fairly quick. But I would have thought that they would have given us a little bit of notice, but, you know.
Well, mine went out last night, too, for about 5 minutes. Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay. The only problem I have, though, I've got two recordings now. I tell you what I'm going to do. In case if it happens, it's not going to happen again, but let me make somebody...
Michael, I just suggested that we go ahead and read the book if you were till you got back on, and
yeah.
So I was going to do that, you know.
All right, hang on just a second.
Do you have unlimited data plan on your phone?
You talk about me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what I found out, because for a while we had this, I don't know what it's called, where you could share your phone with somebody else by Wi-Fi. We got rid of that, save a few dollars. But you can take your charging cable and plug it in to your laptop, right, for your phone, if you can plug in your phone to your laptop. Mm-hmm. And then you can go down to where you're going to share the Wi-Fi connection, and then it's where you can go and now do it via tethering, it's called. You can tether your phone to your laptop, and when you do that, you have an internet connection through your phone on your laptop or your computer.
Okay.
That way, in case your network's all of a sudden unstable, you can still use your phone and still get on the internet through your phone.
On your iPhone, it's called a hotspot.
Yeah, the hotspot. That's what I was thinking.
It's a hotspot. Yeah, but it's like tethering. Yeah, you just use your phone as your internet connection as opposed. But
some carriers charge you more money for the use the hotspot, like if you don't have the plan. But you can tether your phone with your cable, and it's free.
Yeah, Greg's got something there on his phone. It's just kind of a whiteout.
it doesn't really work when I hold it up like that, but yeah, it's under, what is it under?
Well, I'll figure it out. It's not going to happen again tonight, but in case it does, I've made Leon co-host, so he can carry on if something happens to me, but nothing's going to happen to me, right? Thank you, Jesus. All right, we can get started. Unless everybody through commenting, pontificating or whatever. Okay. All right, we're on page 75. At the top of the page, I believe. Is that correct? Okay. Psalms 91 and 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. When is the best time to say this? We should constantly be saying that we're abiding in Christ, but especially when there's a threat. Are you going to agree with God then, or are you going to agree with your fears, your doubts, all these things that assail you? Here's the same confession repeated a little bit further down in verse 9. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. We confess that the Lord is our refuge, but most of God's people don't believe it. They don't believe that there's even any provision made for the natural man. They don't believe that there is safety in him, as all of Psalm 91 says. Some pastors actually preach in their churches that this is for the millennium. Revelation 21 through 5. Well, then this promise won't do them any good because they're unbelievers in that regard. Can I read that again? I'm going to read that again. That is so good. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. When is the best time to say this? We should constantly be saying that we're abiding in Christ. Constantly saying that we're abiding in Christ, but especially when there's a threat. Are you going to agree with God then, or are you going to agree with your fears, your doubts, all these things that assail you? Here's the same confession repeated a little bit further down in verse 9. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. We confess that the Lord is our refuge, but most of God's people don't believe that. They don't believe that there's even any provision made for the natural man. They don't believe that there is safety in him, as all of Psalm 91 said. And some pastors actually preach in their churches that this is for the millennium. Well, then this promise won't do them any good because they're unbelievers in that regard. Anybody got any questions? Pretty plain. If you're not believing what the Word of God says, what are you? An unbeliever. You're an unbeliever. So we have to believe what the Word of God said. And to get that faith to do that, stay in the Word. Keep the Word before you until you get it in your heart, until you get it in your spirit. And it'll reward you with overcoming every time, with beating the enemy every time, casting down those thoughts that come in our head. I ain't got to take that. No, I cast it down in Jesus' name. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to add to that? All right, let's go on then. Praise is a confession of his promises. Yes, Lord. Psalms 91 and 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Oh, praise be to God. Many people don't understand that praise is a confession to the Lord. It's a confession in his promises. Psalms 149 is also an awesome revelation of this. And the Hebrew word for praise there is hallel, which means to boast or to brag on what the Lord has done. What did God do? Stop and think about it. He saved you. He delivered you. He made you holy. He made you free from sin. He provided everything for you. He did all these things as the scriptures declares. In fact, any problem you have was taken care of by the Lord on the cross. And when we praise God, we're bragging that these things are done. We're doing what Jesus told us to do when he said in Mark 11:24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. We believe we have received. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We believe we have received, and we prove it by what we say, by what we do, and by how we act. When we believe we have received, we're going to receive it. And that's what Jesus said. It's going to be manifested. Now, we can understand that in Psalms 149:6, it says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. It's talking about a confession of what God has already done for you. It's speaking your faith. And in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That substance is what God uses to bring the manifestation, the material thing, to pass. Whatever the provision is that you need, you give God the substance and he gives you the manifestation. Because in Matthew 10:32, it said, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Amen. Psalms 149:6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. That two-edged sword, of course, is the word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is not in your physical hand. It's in the hand of your spiritual man. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There are many people who can quote the word of God, but it doesn't do them any good. However, when the spiritual man has the word of God, believes on the word of God, and speaks the word of God, that's powerful, and that's power too. Many people pervert the word of God because even though they can quote it perfectly, they don't understand what it says, and so they don't apply it rightly. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Has anybody got any comments or any questions? Pretty plain, isn't it? Thank you, Lord.
We should probably talk a little bit about why somebody wouldn't apply the word correctly. What would make it so that if they're receiving the word of God and speaking the word of God, what would make it so that they're not able to apply it correctly? It says they don't understand what it says. So I guess that would be kind of a problem with a lot of the church today, right? They do receive the word, but they don't really have it deeply in their heart and have that understanding. They don't have the Spirit of God working within them. I don't know.
Well, absolutely. Most of the church doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't have the spiritual knowledge to understand what the word says. Most of the time, you put it through the letter rather than through the Spirit. And when you put it through the letter, you miss God most of the time. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit guide and lead you through the word in order to understand it. Yeah, Leah.
A good example of that is the Psalm 91, where they say that that's for the millennium. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they know the word there. They see the word, but they don't understand that it's for here and now. They say that it's for the millennium. So that's a good example, and we just read that.
Yeah, still on milk and not the meat, as Judy right. said in the chat. Amen.
It says also they pervert the word of God. So if they're perverting it, they're
twisting it. Yes.
Yeah, there's something going on there that's not right, you know.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, when you in the middle of 76 there on Matthew 10:32, I was thinking about what Pat was talking about earlier. I was kind of concurring with him, you know, that I was wondering how many benefits we miss out on because we're not bold to confess God before men. We're reluctant. We're thinking they don't want to hear it, you know, and things like that. And so we may be missing out because we're stage fright or whatever. We don't want to get out there and be bold about confessing the Lord before men. But when I saw that, I was thinking about what Pat said. Now that struck that nerve. Give us before men, Lord. Amen.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray for Joe over there right quick. He's got a weather alert. In the name of Jesus, we command all of those torpedoes to go around Joe. You can't go anywhere near him in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that he's safe. He's safe under your shadow, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead, Tim. Oh, I forgot to lower your hand a while ago. All right, anyone else? Don't worry about it, Joe. It's going around you, bud. Okay. Matthew 10 and 28. I'll go up. Somebody put something else up on the chat. Yep. They don't have a love of the truth. And hello, Greg. Thank you for inviting. Who's inviting? Let's see. Oh, hey. How do you pronounce that? Deepika? Hi, Miss Massey.
It's Deepika. Hello. Hi there. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you so much. How are you all?
Yeah, ask me how I am. I'll tell you how I am. I'm blessed beyond my wildest dreams. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm into that.
Amen. Okay. Good to have you, Deepika.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Tell her we're reading from this book, God's Vaccine, right now.
Okay. She's in the UK.
Thank you. Yeah, Brother Greg has already sent me the book. So I have that PDF with me. Thank you. He just sent it to me now.
You have the PDF?
Yes, I've received that.
Greg just gave it to her.
We're on page 78 right now of the PDF.
No, we're not. We're on page 7. Oh, in the PDF. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
He's starting at Matthew 28 on the PDF.
Greg told her that too, David.
Oh.
Oh, help me, Jesus. We got people from all over the world here, from UK down to Australia, down in South Africa. Then there's some over there in Missouri, and Joe's in Ohio, and Julie's in California, bless her heart. Then Missy's up in Pennsylvania, and Pat is in Pennsylvania. Megan's in Texas. Barbara's in Pennsylvania. George is in Maine. And Tracy is Indiana, I think. Isn't that right, Tracy?
Missouri, I thought.
St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, she's in Missouri. Theodore says, no, that ain't right.
You said it right.
Amen. All right, let's continue. Matthew 10 and 28. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We are not to fear man. Fear is the very opposite of faith. It is the opposite of our confession. Fear is destructive. Any fear that you have amounts to faith in the negative, faith in the curse, faith in the devil. Jesus says to not fear any man, but fear the Lord, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father. In other words, the Lord has complete care over all his creation. He's sovereign. Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession, Hebrews 3:1. And he tells us in Matthew 18:18, here's a good one. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, as you can see, our confession is very important. Okay, I'll stop there. Is there any questions or comments on that particular paragraph there? Hey, Denny. All right.
I would say people have a problem with that one.
Which one?
Matthew 18:18.
Why would they have?
Well, you know, they have a hard time believing that once you come and you're following Jesus, that you have the authority in your life to bind things and loose things. They have a problem with that understanding of the authority they have in Christ.
I mean, if they've got a problem with that one, they've got a problem all throughout the New Testament. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 gave us the authority over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. Yeah, Joe.
I don't think it's so much we got to, I mean, yeah, they do have a problem with it. They were never taught it. So, yeah, a lot of this stuff I'm learning here, it's like, wait a minute, I can do this, I can do that. It's like, yeah, because, you know, hey, when you rely on a man to tell you what the Word of God says, then, of course, you're not getting a lot of it. So, yeah, yeah. Yeah, basically, amen. They got a problem with what they've never been taught.
That's true. That's a good point, because their faith has been, they believe that faith means that they believe that Jesus died on the cross and that he's resurrected, sitting at the right hand of the Father on them, waiting on them to come up there and be with him forever and ever and ever. And ever. And after you get through with all the evers, amen. So that's what they believe. They believe that they got their ticket punched when they started putting money in the bucket, and everything's cool. When in fact, our salvation is a progressive walk that he's got us all on. And we're going to find that out, I believe. Okay. Anybody else? As we confess Jesus Christ, confess him before men. Speak the same as before men. Then our high priest takes that offering and offers it before the Father. That's how we receive what we receive from God. Matthew 10:33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Quite often, when we make that mistake, it is because we're being tempted to pay more attention to what we see in this world rather than what we see in the Word of God. We're not, as 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imagination and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Instead, we're casting down the word of God. We're giving up the word in the midst of a fiery trial. And when we do that, we don't continue to confess the Lord. We have to put on our armor. We have to swing our sword. And we have to diligently put the word of God into our hearts. And then he can bring it to our remembrance to defend us against whatever situation we're facing in this world. John 14:26, whether it's the curse, the devil, the flesh, whatever, we have to confess him before men so that he can confess us before the Father. Now, somebody explain to me what he's talking about, confess him before men. Give me an example of that. Or not. Okay, Julie had her hand up first.
Confessing the Lord before men would be confessing your healing, whatever that might be, the coronavirus or an injury or, you know, the sniffles or whatever you're experiencing in the natural, you're confessing, I'm not sick, I, you know, the Lord says I'm healed, and by his stripes I'm healed, so that's what you speak in light of what it looks like in the natural, and you speak it to people who might think would think you're nuts because you're coughing and hacking and you have a fever, or you got your, you know, you're sneezing and, you know, you look like a fool, you know, but, you know, God honors your faith and he confesses you to the Father, and or, you know, Jesus confesses us before the Father and to before the angels who minister unto us.
Amen. All right, Pat, go ahead. I'll get to you in a minute, Missy.
I was thinking about this example in the Old Testament where it was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And said, there were certain Jews whom thou hast appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these three men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said unto them, is it of a purpose, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that ye serve not my God nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Just as a kind of a side note, it's interesting that this image that Nebuchadnezzar set up was a reference or a reverence, so to speak, to the God of Daniel, in that he was able to tell him his dream, interpret his dream that he had. And even that pagan king, with so much reverence for this Daniel's God, he did basically what he thought was a worthy thing, and that is he built him a statue and to worship. But anyway, as a side note, now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you should be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall be able to deliver you out of my hands? And to a certain degree, a pattern, that's a pattern in what Julie was saying, is that is the Word of God within us that is being tested up against circumstances, and whether or not we will agree with that Word. And every time, depending upon the status or the threat, shall we say, it's always a death, a certain death to self, or death to my integrity, I mean, death to my old man, the old way of trusting and the old perspective of the world. It goes against all that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then, of course, Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded certain mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their hosen, their tunics, and their mantles, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. He spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the aspect of that fourth is like the son of the gods. As I read that a few days ago, I was thinking about this burning fiery furnace. That furnace is not, God brings us furnaces into our life in various different circumstances, from the smallest to the greatest, to burn these bonds off of us that bind us back to this earthly perspective, and tend to separate us in the spirit to rest in his truths and in his promises. And it's interesting that Shadrach, that these 3 Hebrew children and Daniel made a commitment to God in chapter 1 that they wouldn't defile themselves in this environment. And sure enough, taking that stand, sooner or later, God is going to raise up an even greater test for us, which I believe he is doing right now in the midst of this coronavirus and these plagues that are coming around, for the purpose of separating us from the world and letting that light so be revealed to the world and to starving people, starving Christians, in the midst of this burning fiery furnace that we're getting ready to go into. So,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give you a short version. Short version is this. If somebody, a friend of yours goes to the doctor, a Christian friend of yours goes to the doctor. I've had this happen to me before. And the doctor tells him, he says, well, you've got a life-threatening disease, and you're not going to live past a certain amount of time. Let's say 6 weeks. You're not, 6 weeks time, you're going to be dead as a hammer, you know. And But then you hear that from the doctor, but you know what the Word of God says. And the Word of God tells you that you're in Christ, that no curse can come upon you. And so you can tell a doctor right then, well, doctor, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I don't believe what you're saying because the Word of God says, and you tell him what the Word of God says, and guess what happens? You walk out of there without a curse on you. That's what God's talking about, confessing to men. You do what no one else has done. When I'm saying no one else, no one else around you and your family never has done. If somebody curses you on the street and says, man, you're going to get that coronavirus if you keep on shaking hands with folk. And you say, no, no, that's not true because God said. That's confessing God before men. Well, there's all kinds of instances like that, that you can confess God before men and show them that you're serious about what God said in His Word. And I'll tell you one thing, I guarantee you, 10 times out of 10, He'll back you up every time. He will. He'll back you up every time. It's just that we have to get this Word in our spirit. Get it out of here and put it in here. You put it in here, glory to God, you'll be doing like Linda did the other night, when we prayed for her and all that. Praise God. Yeah, Julie.
I was sharing a little testimony happened yesterday. The Lord had kind of put it in my heart to go to the store and get a beef roast. And I asked him, I was like, okay, well, you know, what size roast should I get? And he kind of told me, and I was like, all right, well, I'm at work, right? I'm working for home. So he's like, well, just go take the bus and go at this time. So I did, I was getting all that together and thinking about it. And like, okay, I'll go over to this market. They have a good selection. It's a butcher shop. And the Lord put in my heart to put a flyer in my purse with me. And I'm like, okay, well, then you got somebody I'm supposed to meet. Well, it turned out to be my bus driver. He asked me how I was doing. I said I was blessed. And he said, and highly favored. And I said, amen. I said, man, I said, you must be the one I'm supposed to give this to. And he's like, what's that? And we just sat there and talked for a few minutes as I got it out. And he started reading. He goes, this is great. And then we talked about the Lord the whole way on the bus and different things. And he was telling me some of the things that he had been doing. The Lord put it on his heart to, you know, not throw things out. If it was still good, hang on to it. And he was telling other bus drivers and other people that he knows, you know, to get prepared and to stock up. He goes, well, you know, we don't need all this stuff. He's like, yeah, but we're gonna, you know. And he didn't really know, but he just knows, he knows the Lord. So we had a really blessed conversation. And I told myself, well, this is my stop up here. And I said, I'm going to go get a roast. And he's like, well, I hope you find one. I'm like, well, the Lord sent me out here to do all this. There's going to be a roast in there for me. He repented. He's like, yeah, amen. You know, it's just one of those, you know, just be listening to the Lord. I had a blessed time. That just made my whole day yesterday.
Amen.
Running into him and I got my roast and got back home, and yeah, it was good. So I just spoke, of course I'm going to get a roast. God told me to go get one. He's gonna make sure there's one there.
Amen. Amen. He told you to get one, there's gonna be one there waiting on you.
That's right. Amen.
All right, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I thought you were gonna forget about me. No, I was watching something else last night, The Normal Christian Life. It's these it's this young man in Australia, actually. He goes around and he starts praying for people on the street. And he gets he asks them first if they're Christian, and then he prays for them, and they get healed. One guy actually got a crushed back that he had for 20 years, and he got healed by this guy. I don't know what his name is, but it's on YouTube. It's called The Normal Christian Life. So he's actually confessing the Lord to people. And I don't know, he's from Australia, so I don't know what it's all about, but he just goes around and he takes a few people with him and he makes these things on YouTube. And I was touched by it because of that, especially that one guy with the sore back, the crushed back for 20 years. He was amazing, that guy. Well, they had to blot out some of the bad language this guy was saying, but he still got healed and stuff. And they're going to some people that are like really, you wouldn't be going, you wouldn't think people would go to such an event to convert people. But these people are like, there's this like big festival they have down there, a drug festival, and the people do drugs there. And they're in there, they put up a tent, and he was just witnessing to these people, and they're very green and young in the Lord when they come out of this. But some of them are, you know, when he goes on the street with them, he, as soon as one of them gets healed, he says, now you're going to pray for this guy. And it works, and they're amazed themselves, you know. And it was kind of cool watching a few of those. Anyway.
Amen. Okay, I've got a text here from Lynn. He says, sorry I had to pull out of the conference call early. Would you all lift up my family in prayer tonight? Josiah turned 3 years old today. That's our miracle boy. Also, my youngest boy, Nathaniel, had a fall off my bed and hit his two front teeth. He hit his teeth real hard. They were loose and have been bleeding. We want you all to agree with us for Nathaniel's teeth, that they would not die or fall out, but be secured back into his bone. Also, thank the Lord for our son, Josiah. We continue in faith, believing that he is healed and restored in Jesus' name. Thank you, and God bless you all. Okay, let's do that. Let's lift up Nathaniel. Lord, we lift up Nathaniel, Lynn is born, and we thank you, Father, that he's already healed. I know Lynn has already prayed for him. We're just agreeing with him, Lord, that those two front teeth are solid in the name of Jesus. We command the bleeding to stop and the looseness to harden up in Jesus' name, that those teeth are going to last him forever in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that little Nathaniel is healed by the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for little Josiah. I praise you, Father, for what's the work that you're doing in him and his parents. And Father, I praise you for little Josiah. And I thank you, Lord, that he is healed. And I praise you, Lord, that he's going to be a mighty little boy of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for Josiah. We praise you, Father, for him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Leah. Yeah, go ahead, Leah.
Okay, I just wanted to address something that Pat said about the image of gold. If you remember that Daniel interpreted the vision, that there was an image there, a statue, basically, with a head of gold, a chest of silver, brass, and legs of iron, and so on and so forth. But the image that Nebuchadnezzar made was all gold, okay, which indicates to me that he was saying, I'm going to hold this forever. This is my kingdom, and I'm going to keep it, and it's not going to go to somebody else. So that's just a different thought than what you express. So I just wanted to point that out to you.
Okay. Does anybody else want to pray for Josiah or Nathaniel? Okay. We've got another prayer request from Rebecca. Rebecca Vogel. She says, hello, Michael, it's Katie. I'm reaching out because I need some guidance on something. I'm 19 years old and still live at home and under the authority of my father. He's not a believer and is freaking out about the virus. My main job was shut down, but my second job has been able to give me some extra hours and wants me to come in tomorrow. I viewed this as a blessing from God, as I felt he led me back there. But my dad is panicking. He doesn't think I should go. He was calling me dumb for not being fearful and saying I'm dumb if I go. I handle money all day at that job, so he said it's especially dumb. He originally told me I'm not going to go, then left it up to me. I feel guilty, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he didn't want his mama to go to her job either. So let's lift up Rebecca. Lord, we ask and we pray for Rebecca and her father and her mother. Lord, we break the power off of her dad of this unbelief, doubt and unbelief. I think she said he's not saved. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of Satan over her dad. And I call him into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for granting repentance to him. And that the Lord of Harvest is sending somebody there that he'll listen to. That'll bring him in, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you it's going to happen real quick. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you put Rebecca at ease in this situation. That she is under the authority of her father. And Lord, if he has insisted she not go, then, Father, I ask that you place it in her heart to stay home and pray. And the same thing with their mother. And, Father, he'll see the peace and the rest that you've given him in this situation. And, Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Rebecca's dad in a mighty quick way. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Okay. All right. Is that everybody? Anybody want to comment some more on what we just got through reading? A lot of times we have been so geared to looking and seeing in the natural and forgetting about the spiritual aspect of our walk. And that's why it's imperative that we get the word of God in your heart. That way you'll know immediately, hey, I don't have to accept this. I don't have to accept this. God's sovereign. He's told me this. Yeah, miss.
You know, the part there that says, quite often we make the mistake. The mistake, it's because we are being tempted to pay more attention to what we see in the world rather than what we see in the Word of God. And that just made me think of just like what I've been going through. It's the Lord's shown me to not to pay any attention to the news, but, you know, only pretty much just pay attention to you know, what David shares, or just, you know, like if there's anything that changes, you know, like let my husband tell me, you know, if there's anything changes of the restrictions going on with this coronavirus and everything, because there's so much, I feel like right now there's so much confusion out there about what's true and what's not true. And it's really bothered me, because it's like you don't know what to believe. And it's like, okay, Lord, okay, I want to hear from you directly, or I want to hear through the body and what you tell them, you know, rather than me looking at it myself. You know, I want to know what the real news is and what the real good news is. And I know what the real good news is. But what I'm saying is I want to know what the Lord has to say about it. I want him to tell me, you know, what's real and what's not real about, you know, what's the real case out there. Because we're supposed to dwell in heavenly places, you know, and, you know, look at the Word and make our decisions being led by the Spirit, because the Word is the Spirit. And so I just felt to share that.
Amen. Mark 11:24 is what we believe. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them already, and ye shall have them. That virus ain't got no hold on us at all. None. Zilch. Nada. So that should be our position of faith right there. All right. You go on here. Anybody else want to comment? Yeah, Judy.
I guess I would just add, like, the Lord was showing me, because you all prayed for me after, you know, the first of the month here, and the Lord was just showing me to treat any symptoms, whether it was the coronavirus or not, I don't know. It very well could have been. But he just told me to treat it like any other sickness, disease, or, you know, affliction from the enemy. Is you fight against it, and you don't look at it. You don't accept what you feel. You don't accept what it is in the natural. You just treat it like any other thing, and don't let fear, don't let anxiety, don't let what you feel hinder. He just told me you're going through a test, and and that's what a lot of people don't understand, and. You know, there is a lot of not just disinformation out there, because nobody really knows what's true. We know a lot of the information out there is lies, but there's a lot of fear in the way that people are reacting. It's people who do not know God at all are freaking out and panicking and doing those things and buying out the stores and all that stuff. And
if you sit there. If you sit there and listen to that TV about the coronavirus in the mainstream media, that fear will jump on you and you'll be right. Just like them.
All day long. Yeah.
Yep.
All day long. False evidence appearing real. Right.
Okay. Okay. Amen, Greg. False evidence appearing as real. Okay. Anybody else before we go on here? Psalms 149:6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations. Remember what happened when three armies came against Jehoshaphat, and he put the praisers out front to confess the Lord before men. 2 Chronicles 20:21. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed them that should sing unto the Lord and give praise in holy array as they went out before the army and say, give thanks unto the Lord, for his loving kindness endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set liars in wait against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. The enemies destroyed each other, because when the praisers began to praise and confess God, then the Lord Jesus was able to confess them before God, and they received an awesome deliverance. Same thing can happen to y'all. Same thing can happen to us. You praise God through all of those trials. He'll bring it to you. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was kind of wondering that this might be the exact verses that someone might be using during the Great Tribulation time. And
for sure.
Yeah. Because they're all the nations are that time going to be against us for his name's sake. And this is going to be the example for us. I think there's more than one like this, where there was three from the teachings, even in David spoke about because there was another time where there was three armies that came against Israel. What was it? Gideon. Yeah,
Gideon. I was sitting here trying to think. It was Gideon.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine just think in your mind, in World War II, if they had done this, I wonder what would have happened. Well, I know what would have happened if they'd believed God. There wouldn't have been a shot fired against them. I often wondered about that. Anybody else, or am I only one? Okay, moving right along here. Psalms 149:7. We're still in Psalms 149. To execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. I don't doubt that a lot of people think this is only talking about physical king, but I believe that there are also spiritual kings, principalities, and powers who rule over the natural kings and the flesh, and on and on and on. A good example is where Isaiah speaks about the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14:4. That thou shalt take up this parable against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, that smote the peoples in wrath with a continual stroke, that ruled the nations in anger, with a persecution that none restrained. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. As he continues to talk along that vein, we find this. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O day star? Day star, son of the morning. Now this is speaking of Lucifer. The Hebrew word there for day star is Hillel, and it means Lucifer, a shining one. How art thou cut down to the ground that didst lay low the nations? And thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I'll sit upon the mount of congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I'll make myself like the Most High. Most people recognize that as Satan, and yet now he's also being called the king of Babylon. Well, we know that there's a natural king of Babylon, but Babylon was the head of the nation. Babylon represented the head of gold, Daniel 2:32, which ruled over a body which was made up of an all-world ruling nations beneath that head. Folks, Satan has taken over the head. This is the mind of the beast. Then David quotes a bunch of scriptures. Satan's mind is the mind of the beast, and he's ruling the world. He's the god of this world, and he's ruling the body through the head. Okay, has anybody got any comments on that paragraph? Okay. So we see that Psalms 149 is talking about the saints having authority over the kings, both spiritual and physical. You know, let me stop here just a second. Y'all remember when I believe it was Paul and who was it that was locked up in prison there and is in the deepest part of the prison?
Silas.
They were in Silas, yeah. Yeah. Locked up in prison. Their feet were locked in stocks and their backs had been stripped. You know, looked like hamburger meat. They were sitting there in pain, but what'd they do? They went to praising God through song. They went to praising him through song. And guess what happened? God showed up. Yeah, there was a great shaking. Turned them off, took the binders off. They took the chains off of them, undid the stocks, and brought a family to Jesus because of it. Brought a family to Jesus. He was fixing to kill himself. And Paul said, hey, hang on there, buddy. We're still here. We ain't going nowhere. He didn't have no light switch where they could turn the lights on and see if there's anybody there, you know. He just assumed that they had took off. But no, they were still there. They had a job to do. That's what God wants us to believe. Yeah, we're all still here. Praise God. He wants us to praise Him during the most difficult circumstances. And don't look at the circumstances, just praise Him. It works. God loves that. Satan hates it. Satan hates your praises. Yeah, even the other prisoners didn't take off. I wonder how many of those got saved. So we see that Psalms 149 is talking about the saints having authority over the kings, both spiritual and physical. Psalms 149 and 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. And if you'll notice, that's all his saints, from even the least to the greatest. His saints with the two-edged sword in their hand and with the high praises of God in their mouth have authority over the principalities, the powers, and the rulers. We have that authority not to do our will, but to do God's will. We're here to do the Father's will. And the Lord uses his body here in the earth, just as he used the body of Christ 2,000 years ago to exercise his authority. He uses the body of Christ today to exercise his authority. Jesus said that the Father gave him authority because he was a son of man, not because he was the Son of God. John 5:26, whereas the Father has life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is a son of man. God gave him authority in the earth because he was a son of man. When God gave that authority to Adam, Adam lost it because he sinned. Jesus, the last Adam, did not sin, and therefore he retained his authority, and he passed it on to his children, his disciples, his body. He passed on that authority to us. Matthew 18:18 again. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise be to God forevermore. That's the power God has given us. Listen. We just have to remember that God gave us all. He has made available to every one of God's children all the blessings of heaven are available to y'all and to me. That's all we got to remember. Do we walk like Jesus walked? Remember what Jesus said, and he healed them all. And he healed them all time and time and time again. Only ones he didn't heal was the ones who didn't want healing, didn't believe. Praise God forevermore. Okay, looks like we're running out of time again. This seems so short, doesn't it? All right, anybody got any comments before we close out tonight? Yeah, go ahead, Lana. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, it's Lana.
Okay, thank you.
I actually had a prayer request as I was sitting here. My symptoms are telling me I have another sinus infection. Sinus infections are pretty new to me. It's been something I've been struggling with for the last year. And I would like to request that you guys pray for me so that I never have to struggle with this again, because it's a day in, day out thing, kind of, until it goes away and I have to treat it. And I really don't want to do that anymore, as most of you can imagine. None of us do. And so if you could support me in faith and in prayer and pray for me, I'd greatly appreciate it.
I'm going to pray for you now. Theodore, put your hand on your wife's head. God's fixing to do something here. In the name of Jesus right now, I command these sinus infections to leave Lana right now. Never to return, in the name of Jesus. We declare it and decree it by the blood of Jesus that she has not anymore from this point on any more trouble with her sinuses. In Jesus' name, we command all the symptoms to go right now. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that Lana is healed and delivered of this. And we break any kind of generational curses right now in her life. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command them to go from her. In Jesus' name. We break every soul tie in the name of Jesus. Right now, we break them. And we thank you, Father, that Lana is healed and delivered in Jesus' name. Ooh, my, 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 my. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's a done deal. That is a done deal. Everybody believe that? Raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we just praise you once again. And thank you for your presence among us. We know you're with us. You said when two or more gathered together in my name, there I am. And there you are. And we thank you, Lord, for being here with us. We praise you, Father, that we've got our eyes locked on you, Lord, that nothing in this world can sway us from what your word says. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that everybody here tonight is going to get a good night's sleep, because that's what you promised us in Psalms 127, too. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that this word tonight and succeeding nights and preceding nights is getting in our spirit, Lord, that we're going to walk like Jesus did. He's the head and we're the body. And we're going to perform miracles, signs, and wonders are going to follow us everywhere we go. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you. And we thank you, Lord, for leading us every step of the way. Set a watch before our lips that we don't curse anything. All we do is bless everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, y'all. God bless you. Let me get everybody unmuted here.
Amen. All right. Amen and amen.